Well, if you have your Bible, maybe turn first of all to Luke chapter 11 that we read a moment ago. We were thinking this morning a little bit about the work of the Spirit, and you will recall that we were thinking of three great phrases from the Bible: born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and in step with the Spirit. And tonight, we want to continue that theme, if you like, of seeking after God. And God willing, over these coming Sunday evenings, I plan to preach on this theme. Some of you may know the name of Donald MacLeod. That name may not mean anything to others. Donald MacLeod is a well-known professor within the Free Church of Scotland, and his writings are really excellent. And he wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. You can see a picture of it there, The Spirit of Promise. And in that book, and just using this by way of introduction, Donald MacLeod speaks of how when we come to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. And on conversion, we are filled with the Spirit. But he goes on to say this, and I quote, he speaks about room for many more fillings, depending on our spiritual hunger, depending on the crises that we may face and the responsibilities that we may bear. He says our Christian lives are made up of new beginnings. Wonder, have you ever thought of the Christian life like that? A continual stream of new beginnings, new opportunities. And he goes on, and I quote, the real reason for some disciples being only shadows of what Christians ought to be is that they are not heeding Paul's instruction in Ephesians 5:18 to go on being filled with the Spirit. God has withheld nothing from them, but they are never at his door asking for more. And that resonates with what we were saying this morning, that we can sometimes be just far too content. There needs to be a holy discontentment within us as regards these things. And Jesus, when he was asked by his disciples in Luke chapter 11 to teach them to pray, said many things. But let me just draw your attention again. We read it, verse 13, where Jesus makes this comparison and says, look, in your lives, If a child asks you for something, would you give them something bad? Would you give them any less than they're asking for? Probably not. And Jesus says in verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so the challenge this evening is to think a little bit more about what it means to thirst after God and to see that God always has more for us. And yet sometimes it is very often the case that we have not because we ask not. Let me just draw your attention just on the screen briefly to a few verses. I'll take a couple at a time. Just to draw your attention, I'm not going to comment at length on these at all. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, a very famous verse about the Holy Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And you'll remember the context. I preached about this last year when we were looking at Zechariah. In the midst of all the struggles, God reminds his servant and his people that it is what God will do despite the troubles, despite the problems, that will really count. Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus is speaking to some very religious people, and he says to them, "You do not know the scriptures or the power of God." And that verse could also be applied to many today, many who may be quite religious. You do not know the scriptures. You have not been searching the scriptures as you ought. You have not been digging into the scriptures as you ought. You have been sidetracked. You become bored with the word of God. Nor do you know the power of God. There is a power in the gospel. That in many ways is at the heart of what I want to be preaching about over these evenings. A couple of other verses. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. Very challenging little verse. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Paul was in a situation where there were people who liked to talk. They were puffed up with their own importance. Paul says the kingdom of God is not about that. It's about the power of God moving in the hearts and lives of people, seeing real change, real transformation. In Acts chapter 1, which we just read, "But you will receive power," it's that word again, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth." And I could have brought other texts up, but that gives a flavor, doesn't it? And is it not true that when we look at some of those verses, there is something within us that says, yeah, there's more. There's more to this than meets the eye. There's more to living the Christian life than I have maybe yet experienced. And I've been struggling. I've been doing this, that, and the other thing. And I really need a deeper and a greater experience of God. John Owen, a very famous English Puritan from a bygone age, exhorted his hearers, and I quote, "Get an experience of the power of the gospel in your own hearts, or all your profession will be a dying thing." Get an experience of the power of God. Let me ask you tonight, brother and sister in Christ, are you saved and stuck? Can you testify to the power of God? Of course, I realize that there are times of struggle and times of dryness that many, if not all, Christians experience. But don't allow yourself to come to the conclusion that that's all there is. Seek after God. Seek after God. Many have been stunted in their Christian experience by a complacency, which is a deadly foe of growth. How many Christians throughout Ulster tonight have become complacent? And as I said, and I've used the phrase before, there's no doubt that they are saved, but they are stuck. And there's no going on with God. There's no rejoicing in the Lord. There's no vibrant witness from their lives. Many are too easily satisfied by too little of God. What about us? Can I ask you a question tonight? Why are you here tonight? Out of duty? It's a communion evening, so I better go and get my tick in the book. Poor reason. Poor reason. What about being here to seek after God? What about being here to really long to know more of Jesus Christ and more of the power of the gospel in your heart, so that you and I may go out and really live for Jesus in this coming week? You see, the evidence that we have God and that we know God is in many ways that we want to know more of him. Can it be said in your heart and my heart tonight that we want to know more of God? So where are we tonight as we come to this communion? Well, can I suggest, as we think about this theme, that one of the first things that we need to do is to confess our sins. We need to confess our complacency. We need to confess at times our nominalism. We need to confess that we are spiritually not what we should be and could be by the grace of God. We need to confess, to put it very simply, that we have not been hungering and seeking after God in the way that we ought. We need to repent of these things, and we need to believe afresh. And that is what I mean, folks, when I say never, never, ever think, and some people I think do think this, that the Christian life is, well, I once was at Calvary and I repented of my sins and I believed, and then I have moved on from that. Folks, we always must go back to Calvary. There is a sense in which, and it's captured in that little hymn that I think the music was played off earlier, as you may have been gathering in, Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain. Brother and sister in Christ, can I appeal to you, as this word appeals to all of our hearts tonight, let's go back to the cross. Let's go back and repent of our sins and believe afresh at the beginning of this new year and seek God for a fresh touch upon our hearts and upon our lives. You say to me, why is this so important? Well, one of the reasons this is so important is that the very life and work and witness of this local church depends upon this very thing. Think about that. The very life and witness of this, your church family, not only this year, but in the will of God and whatever years we have, depends upon this very thing. The life and witness of any church is directly related to the inner walk of the members of that church. And so if we are complacent, if we are a bit lackadaisical about things, that will affect the witness of a church. The light will become a little bit dimmer. But if we really seek after God and ask for his blessing upon us as individuals and as a group, then by the grace of God, the light can begin to shine more brightly. And the life and work of this church can be blessed in greater measure. And we could go through the list of all the different organizations, the youth work, the ladies work, the men's work, whatever it is. It's all depending on this. Let me illustrate that. I mentioned this morning the book by Ian Murray on the life of the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, called Messenger of Grace. And I was mentioning some of the big themes that Lloyd-Jones was always preaching about. And if you have never heard Lloyd-Jones preach, well, we live in the age of the internet, and at the click of a button on Google, you type in Martin Lloyd-Jones, and you can listen to any number of his sermons. He was a man who was greatly used of God. And one of his legacies was this, that the local church is always the primary means of evangelism and witness. That the key to the times that we live in is the state of the church. Yes, of course, we can be critical of what's happening around us. We can be critical of the state of our nation. Of course we can. But first and foremost, we need to look, how is the church doing? And Lloyd-Jones said this, and I quote, "To evangelize successfully, the church must become a spiritual church. Then she will challenge the world, but not until then." And Ian Murray adds the comment, "For Lloyd-Jones, it was the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians, which is the essential witness to the message." And the first question with regard to the problem of evangelization is not the state of the world outside. It is the condition of the church inside. Folks, apply that to our situation here in Kilkeel. Let me ask a few questions for us to just to have in our heads. How many people are being added to the church in these days? How many people are we seeing converted to Christ? What real lasting impact for eternity are we as a church making on those around us, in our family, amongst our friends, amongst our neighbours, and in our community? What impact, to be even more precise, for example, are we making literally upon our neighbours who live beside us here in the church, many of whom have come from other countries? Do we ever even think about them? Never mind pray for them. Never mind seek to witness to them. Some people might say, oh, well, that's the job of the minister and the elders. And I say, no, you're absolutely wrong. It's the job of the church of Jesus Christ. It's the job of each and every one of us. And see, we're back to this point, that if any church is at a low ebb, and the light is not shining as it ought to be, then we can't really expect too much to be happening on the outside. So let's seek God that the light in our hearts, that the flame of the Holy Spirit will be fanned into a brighter, more shining light, so that our witness will shine out into the darkness, and that we will begin to see more and more things happening. I recognize, of course, as a preacher and as a Christian leader, that it's not always as simple as maybe the way that I'm putting it, in that we do something tonight and something miraculous will happen tomorrow. That may or may not happen. But I think that we can seek God and expect from God that if we honour him, that he will honour us. So, we confess our sins, and we confess our failures, and we confess our need. And what are we going to do? Well, in one sense, it's not so much what we are going to do as to what God will do. Yes, we need to repent of our sins afresh as believers. We need to seek the Lord afresh as believers. But then we look to God, to what he will do. And I don't know about you, but it has been my experience in life that when we pray that things really do happen. And when we don't pray, very little happens. As somebody once put it, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, coincidences don't happen. Folks, let's in faith lay hold of God. That whether it's some situation in your personal life or your family life, or whether it's something in the church, to say, Lord, I really, in faith, I'm going to really seek you with all my heart. And I'm going to trust you to help that situation, to change that situation for your glory and for our good. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we sang those words, Spirit. We will sing those words, actually. Spirit divine, attend our prayers and make this house thy home. Descend with all thy gracious powers. O come, great Spirit, come. Come, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. Let us thine influence prove. Source of the old prophetic fire, fountain of life and love. And so tonight, folks, as we think about these things, and as we think about the need as Christian people to confess our sins, to really seek after God, let's make it our prayer, not only tonight, but in these coming days, and in these coming weeks, that we would seek after God, and that we would have a fresh experience of God that would really bless us, that would really fill us with joy, that would really lift us out of the misery and the doldrums that some may be going through. And that we would really know afresh the wonder of the gospel. And where does it all begin? It all begins as we sang this morning. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Folks, do you believe that? I trust that you do. And tonight, in a moment or two, we're going to come to the Lord's table. And as I always do, there will be a prayer at the beginning, and I'll take a moment of quietness when you can just in the silence seek the Lord for yourself. Confess your own sins. Lay your life afresh on the altar. Will you do that? Will you dare to do that? If we do, if we did that as a church, then I believe that 2016, that we would see things happen that maybe we didn't expect to happen. Because that's what God does. Those who seek him shall find him when they seek him with all their heart. It's daunting. It maybe even frightens us slightly. But that's only because we're complacent and we're satisfied with what we've got. Let me challenge you tonight to seek after God.